This can sound a little bit weird, maybe, I don't know. But just as we were finishing that last song in our worship, you just put it out there, but I just implore and I know that I wish everyone was here to hear this, even though it's going to sound a little bit out of left field. But grow. The word just grow is so much coming to my heart. It's not what I'm going to be talking on today, but grow. Make sure you're growing. Make sure you're taking steps forward. Make sure that you are drawing closer to God. Grow. And I'm not saying this as a prophetic word over us, as in, grow, and then you'll grow miraculously. It very much has to do with this, decide to grow. Make decisions to grow. Make decisions to become more of who God has called you to be. Make decisions. To take steps forward. And I know, and I like the compassionate side of me, the nurturer in me, like we all have a little bit of that, wants to say, I know you have been growing. But the word in me, as we were worshiping there, it just compels me to say, grow. And you've got to make this decision to grow. Well done, but grow. Well done, but take steps forward. Well done, but there's more. And we keep asking for more from the Lord, because we know there's more from the Lord. We know that, we have just barely scratched the surface. We know that there's more to His presence in us and His power and His, the gifting and His movement in the kingdom of God on earth and on earth as it is in heaven. And, where His disciples will cast out demons and will heal the sick and raise the dead and the power of the enemy won't be able to stand against it. We know that there's more, and we're asking Him to pour out more. I just hear Him say, grow. Make sure you are growing. And it's very urgent isn't the right word, but there is an urgency in it, but it is very important that we grow. Very important that we grow. And so just putting that out there. And it's so strong on me to make those decisions. Maybe it does have something to do with what we're going to be talking a little bit about today, but I feel like I need to grow. I could spend the next half hour just grow. Grow. Are you getting me? Grow. whatever it takes to grow in the Lord. Do whatever is necessary to grow in the Lord. As far as it depends on you, grow in the Lord. Don't take it personal.
Chris and Brent are moving into a new place, and so we've been doing a lot of painting and fixing up and whatnot. And so we were there, and all of a sudden the Lord came, like I knew it was the Lord. And even in my dream, I'm like, oh, this is so important. I've got to write it down when I wake up, right? But like he just said, there's a big wave coming, and I could be the Morgan. The wave again. But it would be. Like it wouldn't even really be like a tidal wave. It would just be boom. Like you wouldn't even have hardly any warning. It would just be upon us. And there were other people there. And so I said to the Lord, but we just finished baby house. And and he said, no, I'm gonna spare this place. I'm gonna spare this place. And so I got up and wrote it down and whatever and kind of pondering it. Maybe it has a few different meanings, but after saying grow, I'm just like, oh, like the house, like we got it ready. Like we're fixing it up and it's ready and it's going to withstand, So I just think, but it was just, the most important thing was that God said this is so important. Like it's going to be so fast.
Yeah, and that's why, like, I don't know what the right word is, whether the urgency or whatever, but actually a word's coming to me now. It's necessary. It's necessary. It's not just, oh, that would be nice or that would be better. It's necessary. It's necessary. And so as far as it depends on you, as much as you can do, whatever you can do, so not relying on others. And yes, hopefully we can rely on each other in that. Hopefully, yes, we want to be a body who pours into each other. And the whole body of Christ wants to be that, obviously. But even if there isn't that, it's this heart and mindset of, even if there isn't anyone else pouring into me, even if there isn't any other encouragement or teaching or anything else, even if there wasn't any of that, I'm going to grow. I'm going to draw closer. I'm going to seek. I'm going to ask. I'm going to knock. I've got to grow. Grow. And it depends on you. See, that's the other thing. Like, we can be that encouragement for each other and praise God for that, but ultimately it depends on the individual alone with God. Okay? It's between you and God. That's it. That's what it ultimately comes down to. It's not between you, God, and someone else, you, God, and your spouse, you, God, and your children, you, God, and your church. No, ultimately, it always comes down to just you and God. That's it. Grow. I'm getting this picture of, it's from a movie. I won't mention the movie because it relates, but it doesn't relate. But where the one character was speaking something very simple into the person's life and spoke it, and they're like, oh, yeah, yeah. And then, no, spoke it again. Oh, yeah, I hear you. Spoke it again. Yeah, like, I hear you. spoke it again, stop messing with me. Like, I hear you, man. Like, no. That's what I'm getting in my head, like, grow. Well, yeah, we'll grow. No. Grow. Yeah, I hear you. Grow, okay. Grow. 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 A few weeks ago on Monday night, we were reading from, I forget the full extent of what the Lord had placed on our heart, but one of the passages that we were reading from was Hebrews chapter 12, verse 12 and 13, and it says, therefore, and the therefore is there because he's talking about throw off everything that hinders at the beginning of chapter 12 and the sin that so easily entangles. And the reason that's there is because the chapter before he was talking about all these people of faith and living their lives of faith and believing God and not receiving what was promised all the time, but they believed it in faith and they saw it from afar and a distance. And so because of that, throw off everything that hinders. Now, because of that, you know, understand that in that process you're going to go through hard times. Well, consider those hard times like discipline. You know, consider hardship like discipline. Every father disciplines his child, and the reason God disciplines us is so that we can share in his holiness. And later on in chapter 12 we find out that without holiness no one will see the Lord. And so, yeah, this discipline doesn't seem pleasant at the time, but painful in verse 11 and that. But it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace. Therefore, verse 12, strengthen your feeble arms and your weak knees. Make level paths for your feet so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. Grow. Strengthen your feeble arms and your weak knees. Oh, but I'm weak in this area. Okay. Strengthen that then. Oh, but it's hard. I know it's hard. God knows it's hard. But strengthen your feeble arms. Well, they're not feeble. No. Strengthen your feeble arms. Strengthen your weak knees. Make level paths for your feet. Get out there. Do the work. Level the path out. Grow. Make level paths for your feet. Have strong arms. Sometimes when I hear about someone going through rough times, I'm reminded of the prayer. Oh, I forget where it is. But Jesus is praying it. And he says, Lord, I'm not asking that you take them out of the world. You know, when he's praying for his disciples, I'm not praying that you take them out of the world, but strengthen them, basically, is what he's saying. Strengthen them in where they are. When I'm praying for people who are going through a rough time, just so you know how I pray for you when you're going through a rough time, I'm not asking that you necessarily be delivered from the situation. One of my main prayers is, Lord, I pray for a strong back. I don't pray that the load would be lightened necessarily. I pray for a strong back. That you'd be able to stand up under it and lift it and carry it to the glory of God so that then we can carry things for others, that we can carry other people's burdens, so that we can give glory to God. Now, don't get me wrong, in the prayer I also pray, but Lord, not a day longer than it needs to be. And as soon as that load is no longer needed, I pray that it would be lifted and thrown into the sea. You know, I pray that the mountain would be cast off. You know, I see what some people are going through, and I'm just like, oh, God, if at all possible, just lighten that load and throw it into the sea. But then I find myself saying, but Lord, I don't know exactly what you're doing, and I don't want to shortchange what you're doing or short-circuit what you're doing. Not that I can, actually, through prayer, but I don't want to pray in those ways either. So, Lord, if you are strengthening them, strengthen them. I pray that their backs would be strengthened. I pray that their arms would be strengthened. I pray that their knees would be strengthened. That we wouldn't be feeble and weak, but that we would be powerful. That we would be strong in the Lord. That we would be men. That we would be women of God. I remember, of course, you and I were in a Bible study 15 years ago before Thailand, maybe a little bit longer, I can't remember exactly when. And I remember one time we were sitting around the table, and the women were in one part of the house. I think it was Ton and Jackie's house, and the guys were in the other part of the house, and we were just talking. And I remember a bunch of us were going through some stuff and learning and growing in the Lord, but I remember the Lord giving me a word, and one of the things I spoke at that point was like to the men, we've got to be men. We've got to stop being little boys in men's bodies. We've got to start being men. Men of God. And what I would say to the women too, women of God. Strong, courageous, bold. Proverbs 31, women. You know, what was the woman's name who, when that one bad king came in and sought refuge in her tent, and she said, oh, I'll get you some milk, and I'll get you some curds, and here, lay down. And he was tired, and then when he was asleep, she took a tent peg, there you go, and a hammer, and just bam, right through the temple. Now I know, and killed him, right? Nailed his head to the ground. And I know that as, you know, Canadians and pacifists, you know, many of us come from a pacifist background, that kind of, But you think about it, you know, like, he was the enemy. And I look at, I've shared before, where the battles of the Old Testament teach us how to fight the spiritual battles of the New Testament. And you think about how bold and crazy. She wasn't, scared. She was like, oh yeah, sleep right here. Oh yeah, you're fine. What a warrior spirit. What a warrior's heart. That's no little girl. That's a woman of God. It was an honor to her. Remember how the prophetess Deborah said in that instance to, I forget what the judge's name was at that time. There was a person who was called to bring victory to Israel, but he was scared. He said, Deborah, you come with us. I'm not going to go alone, because he didn't trust in God. He wasn't being a man, the man of God that he was called to be, and I forget his name. It's in the Bible, but I forget his name. And Deborah said, okay, I'll go with you, but because you're doing it this way, because you don't trust in God, the glory, the victory is going to go to a woman. And this lady who took that hammer and that tent peg, she was that woman. Bold and courageous. Strong in the Lord. May we be the same. Grow. Strengthen your arms. Strengthen your knees. Strengthen your back. Lord, I want to grow. I've shared with you before, I suffer from some little boy syndrome stuff that I should have been over a long time ago in my life, and I'm getting sick and tired of it. I am just like, come on. You're 46 years old. Grow up. Stop acting like a child, Kevin. Stop being so insecure. I'm not saying, like, for me, like, my personality, I have a little playfulness in me. I have a little silliness in me. I'm not talking about those things. Those things are great. I'm not looking to get rid of those things. Okay? Because those things are holy and good. But I'm talking about this insecure little child. I remember praying with Randy one time, and he just mentioned, yeah, I see this little boy that is scared, you know, kind of thing. Okay, it's time for that little boy to grow up. It's time to run to the battle line and fight the good fight. It's time to strap on the sword and go to war. It's time to be the man of God more and more that I'm called to be. So when I say grow, trust me, I'm looking at it in the mirror. And this isn't a Tony Robbins kind of, you know, boost yourself up and listen to these tapes. You're strong, you know, you're courageous. You listen to the tapes over and over again to try and build yourself up. I'm not talking about that kind of thing. But I'm looking in the mirror and saying, come on, Kevin, grow. Come on, Kevin, grow in self-discipline. Grow in courage. So even as we think about sharing the name of Christ, grow. A few months back, we talked about, and I forget Monday, Sunday, I don't know, but we talked about how can I be ashamed of the very thing that brings people life. Why are we so scared sometimes to share the name of Jesus when that is the one thing that will save people? That is the one name given under heaven by which people can be saved. Why are we so scared to let his name come across our lips sometimes? Why are we embarrassed sometimes? It's the very name that people need. Grow. Strengthen your arms. Strengthen your knees. Strengthen your back. Now, I'm not saying this in a way of a cuff upside the head. Come on, smarten up, bro. Arr. I'm not saying it that way. I'm saying strongly, yes, but with encouragement and with understanding how necessary this is. Come on, let's grow. Let's get going.
I the word grow, and it flowed out of me. It's just God replaces our weakness.
Yeah.
It's like a download.
Yeah.
Because I guess, you know, when we're weak, we lean on the Lord, and we ask for his strength.
So good. Replace our weakness. I love it. God, replace our weakness. I'm just getting it now, the acronym. God, replace our weakness to grow. So good. You know, and in this, in our growth, there are certain things that we wouldn't be able to do no matter what. We just aren't capable. It's not our thing. We can't create, you know, a flower. We can't create peaches on the tree. We can't create anything. That's all God. And there's some things that, Lord, I can't do it. You need to do it in me. Okay? And so we leave God's stuff up to God. You know, Lord, you need to provide the healing. You know, so just like it's really exactly like when we've been praying for Nabil or others who have had sickness, or when we were praying for Graham or others. Lord, unless you do it, it's not going to get done. It just can't. We got nothing. It's like Elisha being surrounded in Samaria, you know, and it's really this place of, we got nothing. Like, if you don't save us, we're dead. There are things like that in our lives, and we leave that with God, and we we place that at the foot of the cross, and whatever metaphor, whatever words you need for that, but we cry out to the Lord for healing. Again, some of my favorite stories are the blind people in the New Testament, blind Bartimaeus crying out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. What do you want? What do you want?" Jesus says to him, "I want to see." And then he heals him. We can't heal ourselves of blindness. Okay, that's impossible. But what we can, but there are things we can do. There are things we can do. That once we do see, we use our eyes well. And we look. We use our tongues well. We choose well in the things that we can do something about. We take thoughts captive. We choose purity. We choose holiness. We choose to love. We choose boldness. Sometimes, yes, you have to choose boldness. It's like, okay, here we go. And you rush forward. You just rush into it. You walk into it well. So I'm not saying that we need to, it's our responsibility to grow in the areas that only God can take care of. No, you leave those with the Lord, and you actually intercede for yourself or for others. You pray, you ask, you knock, all of that. But then the other stuff. I think sometimes we ask God for stuff that we're actually responsible for. And it's like, Lord, I need discipline in my life. All right, he says. I'll provide the opportunity to exercise discipline, but you need to exercise it. You need to. I've shared a few times, it's not, God doesn't have a magic wand and waves it over us and everything's taken care of. He has called us to exercise our will and walk it out. Grow.
It's called self-discipline.
Exactly. Make level paths for your feet. A few weeks ago when we were on Monday, we were sharing this passage, and then afterwards I was talking with Larry, and Larry pointed out then too that so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. And so it's this idea, you make level paths for yourself, but also for others. You clear the path. You become strong, yes, for yourself, for your own walk with God. And definitely, as we were worshiping there, and this was coming to me, and even with Lil's dream, I think it's really like, one part of this is for us, for our own survival, for our own health. We need to grow. I get a picture of, you know, I'm sure you've seen pictures of Hurricane Irma and some of the devastation that it did, but, you know, tearing up trees. And we have one friend who lives down in Florida, and just this maple tree just came down, and the root system is now like this, you know, and root system is quite actually impressive, and yet it wasn't strong enough. It wasn't enough. But then there's other trees that survived. And I imagine some of those trees survived because their roots went deeper. They could withstand the winds. And so, yes, some of this grow is for you, but then some of the grow is for others. So that we can make level paths for others. So that the lame, others who are lame, can be healed. Reminds me of the verse in Romans where it says, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. I think that can be said of so many things. Like even with this where it says, make level paths for your feet so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. We can't make all the decisions for the lame. We can't make all the decisions for others. We can't make all the decisions for non-believers. You can't even make all decisions for your own kids, right? But as far as it depends on you, as much as you can do, and we continue to pray for Rachel, we continue to intercede for her, we continue to love her and speak truth and all of that, as far as it depends on you, you make that path as level as possible. Remove all the stumbling stones, except one. And this is one thing where Larry and I were talking about a few weeks ago. The only stumbling stone that we can't remove is Jesus himself. And he is a stumbling stone. Talks about that. Talks about that I thought I had it written down. Oh yeah, there it is. Romans chapter 9. 1 Peter chapter 2. Even referencing back to Isaiah chapter 8. He is the stumbling stone. The one that people stumble over. But the stumbling stone has become the capstone. It's become the cornerstone. So that's the one we can't remove, because then there is no hope. Oh, but people get so caught up on Jesus. Maybe if we just remove him, people will be fine. But then there's no life at all. And so many in the church are doing this now. We don't want to offend. They want to remove all the different stones, all the different stuff that people trip over in church and that kind of stuff. And some of that's good. Some of it needs to be removed. But then they end up also sometimes removing Jesus himself. Oh, but he's a stumbling block. Yes, he is, but he's also the cornerstone. He's also the capstone. Without him, there is no foundation. Without him, everything crumbles on our heads. So we can't remove him. But as far as it depends on you, as much as you can do for others, do it. In 1 Corinthians 8, it talks about don't let your freedom become a stumbling block for the weak. Reminds me of Romans about eating meat and eating meat sacrificed to idols and drinking wine and that kind of stuff. If that's causing people to stumble, just don't do it. Paul was actually, you know what? And how many of us could say this, those of us who love our steaks and different food meats and that? I'll eat only vegetables if that's what it takes. That's love. My goodness. That's love. But I'll remove all the stumbling blocks. Paul says, to the Jew, I'll become a Jew. To the Gentile, I'll become a Gentile. To the weak, I'll become weak. To the strong, I'll just, whatever is needed, I'm going to submit myself and humble myself. I'm going to remove all these things. That's growth. Because it's less of me, more of him. It's exactly what Brian was saying there. God, you know, will come in and will give us this incredible strength. What's the acronym again? Acronym.
God replace our weakness.
God replace our weakness. And he comes in and he'll do it. As we lay ourselves down. 2 Corinthians 6, Paul says, we put no stumbling block in anyone's path. And then that whole Romans 14 thing, again, I don't want to cause anyone to stumble. I make level paths. The only stumbling block I cannot remove is Jesus, because he's our life. But where we grow. I don't want my immaturity to be a stumbling block. I don't want to be a stumbling block to my wife. I don't want it to be a stumbling block to my kids. I don't want it to be a stumbling block to the church. First, this church here, this congregation, and then also to the worldwide body of Christ. I don't want my immaturity to be a stumbling block to my neighbors, my family. I want to grow. So that if they do stumble, the only thing they stumble over is Jesus himself. Is the truth of the gospel. The truth of the word of God. This is the one thing you know, whether it's the living word of God, Jesus Christ himself, or the written word of God, this is the one thing I cannot remove from the path. Right? He is the one that I cannot, but everything else, you know, it's like the verse that John loves to point out every once in a while, John Tifo loves to point out every once in a while, I buffet my body. He says buffet his body, but it's a buffet actually. I buffet my body. I say to my body, you're not in charge. I say to my emotions, you're not in charge. I say to my own feelings, and understand I'm saying this as a person who has deep, deep, deep feelings. I say to them, you're not in charge. The Word of God is in charge. The Spirit of God is in charge. The Son of God is in charge. God Almighty is in charge. I seek growth. So that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed.
Just an example, and this isn't to think about myself, but yesterday I asked Daniel to do something that, anyways, he blew up. And I actually haven't. And he was like yelling, whatever, and screaming. And I just sat calmly and I said, and I, all I said was, you know, reacting. And then he went up to his room and I prayed against him and he, and then he came down not very long after, and I knew he would. And he said, Mom, I am blown away at your reaction to me. And so, you know, and he's saying, I can't believe your growth. Like, he's saying that to me. And I said, Daniel, thank you. And then I said, I can't believe your growth. I mean, I do believe it, but I said, like, how quick your repentance was and how. And then he would, you know, he gets really deep. But it was good. And we talked a lot. And he talked a lot. And it's like, I mean, I felt stuff rising up, mm-hmm. but it's like, this is a moment when I have to let God get a hold of him, for sure.
Yeah.
But anyways, that was just an example.
So good.
Yeah.
It's so right. God's ways will smooth the path for us, for each other, for believers, for non-believers. God's way creates that smooth path that we can, that's when you can start really moving. That's when you can really start making progress on a smooth path. Reminds me of the roads in Haiti when we used to live there. Most of them had potholes that could swallow a car. And I remember there's one particular pothole, it almost did swallow my car and wrecked the rim and blew the tire and all this kind of stuff. And so you had to go really slow. You had to really go slow. But then there's this one stretch of highway where they paved it and it was nice and you could just. Unfortunately, that was the most dangerous part because then there was just this one pothole sometimes that scared. But when you have a smooth path, you just fly. So you made a smooth path there. It's good. Are there any other questions or comments on this?
Areas that are hindering growth. I mean, I know that there are seeds. just ground is more for the word. I guess it can apply here too.
Absolutely.
So if there's areas that keep coming up, then you see patterns, bad patterns that are not allowed to grow in certain areas. You can say grow as much as you want, but you do sometimes have to go back and get the discernment, get the counseling, get whatever.
Totally. And I love the parable of the different grounds that Jesus gives. And sometimes we have fallen into believing the lie that there's nothing that can be done. You're either a hard path, or you're filled with weeds and thorns, or there's birds in the air and you can't do anything. We know that that's not true. Every spring, especially the one path that my dad, like, we live on a farm, right? And the one main path that splits the orchard, it becomes rock hard because he drives up and down that so much. It becomes, the compacted dirt can become rock hard. It's like that path, you know? The birds come and eat the seeds then. But it's not hopeless. What does my dad do? He gets out the disker, attaches it to the back of his tractor, and goes up and down all the rows. And the other rows, he just has to maybe go up and down once. But this one, maybe a few times. And all of a sudden, it's soft soil again. Birds are coming and stealing things. What do? We get out the bird bangers. We get out the nets. Some people have the nets. The blueberry farm on line one has the whole thing of nets, you know, that can cover the whole farm. We've tried to cover a few of our raspberries, and it seemed to work well. We can keep the birds away. We can get the bird bangers, and we can get the plates and the little streamers even. Try Kelly every year. All of a sudden, he'll put the radio out on the tree. Two cherry trees that he has on his yard, and they put the radio out. We can scare them away. Weeds? It takes a lot of work, but you can weed. You can pull the weeds up by the roots, and they need to be pulled up. You can get rid of the weeds. Yeah, it takes a lot of work, but you can get rid of the weeds. Rocky soil, where it's hard rock. You know, there's a little bit of soil, but then hard rock. That takes a little bit more work, but you can get rid of those rocks. Sometimes they're so big, they need to be blown up, but you can get rid of them and create good soil. So sometimes, you can't look at a field and say, grow, grow, grow. You know what? Before we do that, you know, you buy a field. Before you do that, you have to prep it. You have to do some work in it before you plant. That field out by Airport Road, I remember someone bought that for grapes a few years back. Before you can plant grapes there, you got to put weeping tile in there because that thing floods all the time. The one still floods, it seems. They didn't do a good job. But you can prep it. You can do the work, but sometimes it takes a lot of work. But it's worth it. And sometimes it takes extreme measures. You know, so let's use an example of drinking. And you have a problem with drinking. You have a problem with drunkenness. And you know what? There's nothing sinful about having a drink. Nothing sinful about having a glass of wine, a beer, or whatever. But if you have a problem with drunkenness, you know what? You might have to get alcohol totally out of your life and for the rest of your life. Well, but they can have a drink. Yeah, but they're not you. And you might have to take extreme measures. And that's like what Paul says. He's like, I'll get rid of meat in my life. Man, that's amazing. Willing to become a vegetarian for the gospel. And he's like, I'll do that. And so sometimes it takes extreme measures. Sometimes it means cutting off relationships that are just toxic. Oh, but they need Jesus. I'm trying to reach out to them. Yeah, but they're toxic right now. You need to cut it off for a little while. Maybe come back to it later. Maybe the TV needs to be thrown out of the house.
And also, I go back to that gardening example. Like yesterday, I walked through my garden and I found those tomato caterpillar things. Mm. But I got them, so it's good. But you need to check regularly.
Yep.
What's going on in your life. And if you don't, it just creeps up.
Yeah. And it's amazing how much more easy it is to take care of a garden when you take care of it from the beginning. There's all these analogies right around us. Mind you, if you haven't and your garden is all out of control, okay, well, you start where you found it. I love Morgan's blog about her time with Evelyn there. And, you know, mess everywhere. Okay, well, we start right here. We start in one little corner and we just start putting things away. And so, yeah, sometimes there is stuff, and you can't grow, like, it's all growth, but you can't plant what needs to be planted until you grow in the sense of you get rid of some things that need to be gotten rid of.